I hope all are staying warm in this frosty January weather. This is Pat, and I am reading from the Clinton Journal for Friday, January the 30th. Bennett named to CHS Wall of Honor. Mark Rogers reporting. Clinton. Prior to the Clinton Maroons basketball game on January the 23rd, Clinton High School held its annual Wall of Honor induction ceremony. This year's inductee was Michael D. Bennett from the class of 1979. Bennett has had a varied career since graduating from CHS. He served his country in the United States Marine Corps, then returned to serve stints as a Clinton police officer and a Leroy police officer. He then returned to the Clinton police ranks and before retirement served as a school resource officer for the Clinton School District No. 15. In retirement, he has served as a DeWitt County Sheriff's Department bailiff. While performing all of these duties, Walker has also been active in other areas of the community. He has served on the Mental Health Board, the Vault Board, the Police and Fire Commission, and the Police Pension Board. He is also a member of the Clinton Eagles Lodge, American Legion Post No. 103, and Ducks Unlimited. While working, Bennett served as a hunter safety instructor, a DARE officer, a master farms instructor, and was an EMT at Clinton Power Station. The Wall of Honor plaque unveiling was performed by CHS Athletic Director Matt Keppel, while the induction ceremony presenters were Jerry Wayne and Bob Saventier. And also in front page news, Clinton Uber driver prevents $20,000 scam of an elderly normal woman. Gordon Woods reporting. A Clinton-based Uber driver saved the day recently by preventing an elderly normal woman from handing over $20,000 in cash to scammers. Jason McPeak went to pick up a rider in Normal. He met a woman holding a box who asked him to deliver it to her grandson in Joliet. He said it was a coffee box, but when he asked if the coffee was in the box, she looked confused. I could hear somebody on her phone telling her something like, "Get the box and take it back into the house," McPeak said. McPeak said he had seen a lot of news about scammers targeting elderly people. I got a little weirded out because I was supposed to pick up a person, McPeak said. But she's an 80-year-old woman asking me to take a box to Joliet. McPeak said he had a gut feeling she was being scammed, so I just called 911. McPeak said he handed the box to the officer who responded, telling him he did not know what was going on, but was afraid the woman was being scammed. The officer later contacted McPeak to tell him the woman was indeed being scammed and was about to send $20,000 in cash to the scammers. He said the officer spent quite a bit of time talking to the woman, talked to several people on the phone, and realized it was a big scam, McPeak said. McPeak said his instinct apparently saved the woman from losing her money. He said this was the first incident of this type he had ever encountered. McPeak has driven for Uber for nearly 7 years, given more than 10,000 rides, and delivered a variety of items. This was the craziest situation I have ever had to deal with, he said. 2025, a good year for economic development. County Board gets review of DeWitt County development in 2025 by Gordon Woods. It was a good year for economic development in DeWitt County, and DeWitt County Development Council President Kurt Holman reported to the County Board recently about 2025. 2025 was really a good year for economic development in DeWitt County, and we look forward to 2026 being a great year as well, Holman told the board on January the 22nd. Quick Wall production began on December the 8th, Holman reported. Quick Wall moved its Springfield and Mount Pulaski production operations into the vacant R.R. Denley plant in Clinton. QuickWall manufactures glass wall partitions for meeting and convention centers. The company has a $15 million contract this year to build partitions for the Orange County, Florida Convention Center. QuickWall announced earlier in 2025 it expected to have approximately 200 employees at the Clinton plant within 3 years. I happened to be out there when they completed their first panel, Holman said. It was a pretty exciting moment. Holman said the company would have two more main product lines and expected to be fully staffed by March. Holman cited another big announcement from 2025, the Meyer Utility Structures plant. Meyer is part of Arcosa, the company that formerly produced wind turbine towers in its plant north of Clinton. The plant is being converted to produce electrical utility structures. February 4th and February the 7th, they're going to have some hiring events, Holman said. Their goal is to hire 100 welders. Holman said the company planned to hire 10 to 15 every month until the plant was fully staffed. We are super excited to have them here, Holman said. Other projects that opened in 2025 included Longview Bank, a farmer-owning banking company based in Mount Pulaski. They opened in Clinton in May, and it's good to have another institution in town. And there are multiple small business discussions that I regularly partake in, Holman said. Planning, guidance, all of those things. Big announcements frequently get the attention, but so much of my day-to-day stuff is helping small business owners stay open, expand, find a way to open, all those things, Holman said. Holman said Mariah's Mums and More Triple M Farm received a substantial grant from the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity and would soon announce a new project. They were made aware of that grant through DCDC, Holman said. I gave them some strategic advice with the grant. In news for the upcoming year, Holman said the Farmer City Grocery Co-op now has reached a point of hiring an architect. They are still working on fundraising, and the city has committed some funds for the project, Holman said. And they are hopeful the county might be able to follow suit as well. They expect to be fully operational in 2026. Anchor State Bank announced its new location for Farmer City. The bank was waiting for the grocery co-op to go forward before making a commitment. DCDC began discussions in 2025 on the Clinton Downtown Revitalization Plan. Our goal is to have some ideas and a project completed in 2026, Holman said. Snowy weather doesn't deter the annual chamber banquet and awards ceremony. Clinton. Despite winter weather affecting attendance, the Clinton Area Chamber of Commerce and Tourism Bureau held its annual dinner and awards on Saturday, January the 24th at Clinton Country Club. The evening focused on community connection and local pride. The night featured a live performance by local musician Douglas Willis, along with a live interactive mural painted by local artist Ariel Holmes. Guests were invited to participate in the mural and contribute to a community board with notes and messages. Both projects will be on display in the chamber office. The chamber presented three of its five new business awards. The Small Town Spirit Award was presented to the American Legion Post No. 103. The Rising Star Award went to the Longview Community Bank, and the Behind the Scenes Award was awarded to Baum Chevrolet Buick. Two additional awards were announced but not presented due to weather-related absences. The Heart of the Community Award was awarded to the Clinton Journal, and the Big Impact Award was awarded to Constellation. These recipients will be recognized at a later date. And there is a picture of the Heart of Community Award for the Clinton Journal. It is a beautiful purple blown glass heart seated on a base. And the base says it is the Heart of the Community Clinton Journal. The University of Illinois Extension offers risk management course for women in agriculture, Decatur, Illinois. Women are assuming more leadership and management roles within agricultural operations, highlighting the need for targeted education and support. In response, the University of Illinois Extension, serving DeWitt, Macon, and Piatt counties, is pleased to offer an educational program focused on agricultural risk management. Annie's project will be offered in a hybrid format. Participants will be required to complete 6 hours of online coursework prior to attending 2 days of in-person presentations. In-person presentations will be from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on February the 26th and 27th at the Macon County Extension Office, 3351 North President Howard Brown Boulevard in Decatur. The course is designed to equip women in agriculture with the knowledge and tools necessary to manage risk in these five critical areas: financial management, human resource management, legal, marketing, and production. Sessions will focus on the unique challenges and opportunities faced by women farmers, ranchers, and ag entrepreneurs in both rural communities and urban settings. Participants will learn from women experts in the agricultural industry and have an opportunity to connect with other women in the industry. University of Illinois Extension is excited to offer this special program specifically planned for women in agriculture, says Agriculture Program Coordinator Stephanie Hale. This is a great way to learn from women experts in the ag industry while sharing a unique bonding experience with fellow women living their best ag lives. The cost for the course is $50, which includes session materials and lunch. Advanced registration is required by February the 19th at go.illinois.edu/Annie. That's go.illinois.edu/Annie. Annie's Project is a nonprofit organization dedicated to empowering women in agriculture to be successful through education, networks, and resources. The organization provides agricultural risk management education programs for women involved in agriculture. Annie's Project courses has successfully reached more than 18,000 women in 38 states and one U.S. territory. And from the op-ed page, the Dear Clinton column by Joe Mellon. Hello, it's me, Clinton. I'm that poor old man on the north side throwing frisbees across the street from the homestead. It was sad to read recently that the local movie house closed earlier this month, but now there is talk it may reopen. The last movie I saw there was The Fantastic Four, with maybe 50 other people. It was fun watching my Saturday morning cartoon heroes come back to life with the smell of popcorn in the air. Going to the movies was a big part of my life growing up in Decatur, before the days of videotape, streaming services, and huge theater-like TVs. Watching a popular movie at the Avon or the Lincoln with a packed house was always a cherished event. But watching the same movie at home now usually leaves me bored. It may be more convenient to watch whatever you want, wherever you want, but I feel we lose something in the process. Back in the early 90s, when I was living an hour north of Seattle, the TV station with the best clarity came from Canada. One night I watched a half hour of the 1985 movie Volunteers with Tom Hanks and John Candy on that station. I found it funny and interesting enough to rent the VHS tape the next time I went to the store. The video felt different from watching the movie on TV a few nights before. This time it didn't seem as funny or interesting, as though the movie's spirit was performing at a lower level. There is probably a scientific theory somewhere to explain the different levels, but I'm too lazy to go looking for it. I also notice the same phenomenon when watching a live sports event on TV compared to a recorded version. When a movie or a football match is shown live on TV, many other folks laugh at the same funny line or cheer for the same play at exact same time. The excitement level and the number of people laughing or cheering at that moment determine the life level of that moment. A good name for it could be instantaneous accumulated attention, IAA. The same thing happens when listening to music. Back in the day, I remember trying to record my favorite rock songs playing on WLS out of Chicago with a cassette tape recorder. The whole idea was to copy a song and play it back like a 45 phonograph without the cost. But the playbacks were always disappointing. Millions of other kids were listening to my song on WLS when I recorded it, but only one was listening to the relatively lifeless playback. What about you? Have you ever noticed the different life level of a movie or a song when you are alone compared to when you are with your friends or in a crowd? Think about listening to your favorite live rock or country album compared to actually being at the concert. It's sad to think about our town without a movie house, but there's always hope. Maybe social gatherings to watch the same thing at the same time will become a fad again. Here's to hoping, Clinton. Joe Mellon is a graduate of SDHS and Millikan University and worked in Decatur Firestone Tire Plant. He raised a family in Georgia, wrote and published a book, and is happy to be back in central Illinois again. Clinton wrestlers host triangular meet, Mark Rogers reporting. The Clinton Maroon wrestlers were at home on January the 26th with a triangular meet with El Paso Gridley and St. Joseph Ogden. The evening began with the presentation of the four seniors on the team this year. They are Sandy Clark, Marty Alejandro, Dylan Wright, and Chase Malone. Next, it was time to begin the grappling on the mat. The first teams up were the Clinton Maroons wrestling the EPG Titans. The home grapplers began with a commanding lead of 30-9, but were derailed along the way. The Maroons did up winning this match 42-30, but it was questionable for a time. The second round of wrestling was between EPG and the SJO Spartans. The Spartans seemed unstoppable as they rolled over the Titans 51-17. The final matchup of the Maroons and the Spartans, the home team started well, winning some matches and taking a slight lead. This disappeared as the heavier weights came into play again and SJO ruled. The Spartans took the final matchup 45-24 over the Maroons. The St. Joseph Ogden Spartans won the evening with 96 points, followed by the hometown Maroons with 66 points and the El Paso Gridley Titans in third place with 47 points. In other news, we have an obituary this morning. Joseph Bryan Taylor of Greensboro, Georgia. Joseph Bryan Taylor, a resident of Greensboro, Georgia, passed away on January the 24th at St. Mary's Hospital in Athens, Georgia. Donations may be made to the Clinton YMCA or the Tabernacle Church of Normal. A celebration of Joe's life will be held in the spring. McCommon's Funeral Home, 109 West Broad Street, Greensboro, Georgia, is in charge of arrangements. And now a few quick tips. Fire safety during winter weather. Home heating equipment is a leading cause of residential fires during winter months. Keep all heat sources from at least 3 feet away from anything that can burn, including furniture, curtains, and bedding. Never use stoves, grills, portable fuel burning devices to heat your home. Carbon monoxide safety. Carbon monoxide is an odorless, colorless gas that can be deadly. CO poisoning risk increases during the winter when homes are sealed tightly and fuel burning appliances are used more frequently. Install carbon monoxide alarms at every level of the home and near sleeping areas. Be prepared. Have an emergency plan in place during winter storms and extreme cold, including identifying warming centers in your community and checking on elderly neighbors or those with limited mobility. Illinois quick hits. Illinois gains population for the third straight year. The Center Square, According to new estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau, Illinois' population has risen for the third straight year. Data released on Tuesday showed Illinois with an estimated 12,719,141 people on July the 1st, 2025, up from 12,703,033 at the previous year. The state's number is 16,108, higher than a year ago, but 76,207 lower than it was in 2020. Sexual exploitation sentence. A Park Forest man has been sentenced to 48 years in federal prison for sexual exploitation of a minor and possession of child pornography. Prosecutors say Tekalo E. Thomas, 35, enticed, persuaded, and used a prepossessed minor to engage in illegal sexual contact. Thomas allegedly recorded the conduct and trafficked the images as barter to collect more than 1,500 images of child sex abuse. Judicial agenda. The Illinois Judicial Conference has unveiled its 2026-2028 strategic agenda for the state's judicial branch. Chief Justice P. Scott Neville Jr. said the agenda focuses on removing barriers that prevent litigants from fully participating in the legal system. The IJC consists of 15 judges and 14 non-judges, with the Chief Justice serving as chair. Election 2026 letters. Lowers is the right choice for sheriff. To the citizens of DeWitt County, it is with great pride and confidence I write this letter and publicly support and endorse Chief Ben Lowers for DeWitt County Sheriff. I've had the privilege of knowing Ben and his family for over 30 years, not only as lifelong friends, but as trusted and respected members of our community. As a local business owner, I've also worked with Ben professionally and can say without hesitation that he exemplifies what it means to serve with integrity and purpose. Ben's professionalism, leadership, and approachability set him apart. He has a unique ability to lead with strength and while putting others at ease, a quality that is essential in law enforcement and community leadership. His long-standing involvement in the community and willingness to assist wherever needed are second to none. Ben has earned the trust of many, including myself, through his dedication, character, and consistent commitment to doing what's right for the people of DeWitt County. I truly believe he is the right choice to serve as our next sheriff. I proudly and wholeheartedly support Chief Ben Lowers for DeWitt County Sheriff, and I encourage others in our community to join me and support a proven leader who will serve with honor and distinction. Sincerely, Julie Hines, Country Junction. And a second letters. Lowers has proven record as leader. I am writing to wholeheartedly recommend Chief Ben Lowers for sheriff of DeWitt County. Ben is a lifelong member of the Clinton community who grew up right here in DeWitt County. He knows firsthand the challenges of small-town America faces. He has the experience, vision, and compassion to address them. As the chief of police for Clinton Police Department, Ben has proven himself a capable and sturdy leader. He is clear-headed in times of stress and critical situations, never wavering in his commitment to making sound, fair decisions. He is a good listener who takes the time to hear all sides before moving forward, ensuring that people he serves know their voices matter. Ben is hardworking and dedicated, never shying away from putting in the hours needed, no matter the task at hand. His enthusiasm for public service shines through, and he relates well to people of all ages. He recognizes the unique concerns of the elderly populations and seeks out real solutions for them, showing not only leadership but also compassion. Looking to the future, Ben is ready to take on new challenges as sheriff. His proven record as a leader, his ability to connect with community, and his unwavering dedication make him the right choice for DeWitt County. I encourage the residents of DeWitt County to support Chief Ben Lowers for sheriff with his experience, vision, and commitment. I have no doubt he will serve the county with honor and integrity. Sincerely, Joanne Reedy. And another story in sports. Maroons take second in conference with the win over the Warriors. Mark Rogers reporting. After beating the Meridian Hawks on Tuesday, the January 20th, on Friday the hometown Clinton Maroons hosted the ever-tough Tuscola Warriors, who, along with being tough, was a substantially taller team. But Coach Brinkley's team was ready and up for the challenge. To start, Brock Wilson out-jumped his foe to give the Maroons the ball to start the game. The Maroons fought hard and out-rebounded the taller Warriors in the first quarter to keep a three-point lead going into the second stanza, where the home team exploded for a 21-13 run to take a 36-25 lead into the halftime locker room. Everyone expected the Warriors to come out blasting in the second half, but instead the Maroons added six more points to their lead. The fourth quarter was rugged. Near the middle of the late part of the quarter, the buzzer clock system let out a loud squawk, which stopped play for several minutes, giving the opposition time for one final rally. The Warriors outscored the Maroons by 1 point in that final quarter, but it was nowhere nearly enough as the home team took the 65-49 win and second place in the conference. The Maroons out-rebounded the opposition throughout the game. The Maroons were led by Keaton Graves with a game-high 37 points with 4 three-pointers, followed by Jaden Bell with 15 points, including 2 three-pointers. The Maroons are 17-5 overall and 3-0 in the conference play. The Warriors were led by Logan Kurtz with 10 points and 1 three-pointer. The Warriors are now 17-4 overall and 1-2 in conference play. And now for information, Clinton Journal letter policy. The Clinton Journal accepts responsibly written letters covering topics of interest to our readers. Letters must be the original works of their senders. The Journal does not publish anonymous letters. Letters submitted for publication must include the name of the author, address, and telephone number. Addresses and telephone numbers will not be published. The editor and manager reserve the right to edit letters for length and or content and to publish letters using any journal platform, such as print newspaper, website, or other electronically delivered method. Readers should keep in mind that letters published are the opinions of their authors, are not news reports, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this newspaper, its staff, or its advertisers. The Journal does not certify information used in letters, but will remove any passages it considers potentially libelous. Election letters. The Journal will accept letters from private citizens endorsing candidates or ballot measures. Candidates must purchase political advertising. And now a couple of notes from the History Almanac. In 1962, two members of the Flying Melendez High Wire Act were killed when their seven-person pyramid collapsed during a performance in Detroit, Michigan. 1968, the Tet Offensive began as communist forces launched surprise attacks against South Vietnamese provincial capitals. In 1972, in Northern Ireland, British soldiers shot and killed 13 Roman Catholic civil rights marchers. The day is known as Bloody Sunday. In 1989, the U.S. Embassy in Kabul, Afghanistan was closed. And with that, I will close, and I will see you next week. Stay warm. Have a good day.